Hello, thank you for listening today and downloading the Grace Tabernacle podcast. We invite you to journey with us as we transform our hearts and focus our eyes to worship. Our mission statement is presenting Jesus, the revelation of grace and truth that transforms lives. It is our hope and prayer that this message will be helpful for achieving the goal of growing closer with Christ. Now let's join in fellowship with a message.
Hello, everyone. Good evening. If you're tuning in with us right now, be sure to leave us a message. We had a little difficulty tonight getting on live, so we need to know. Check in by saying hello. Let us know if everything is working, if the sound is up, and we appreciate your comments. That really does help us a lot. So I'm looking for that. Hey, good evening. Hey, Steve, good to see you, my brother, Joey. All right, good to see you. Yeah, Jesus is the boss. Amen. Good. Hey, Kathy, good to see you. Thank you, that really helps. I appreciate it. Hey, Larry, we appreciate it. Josie, how are you? Good to see you. Wonderful. Pam will be joining me in just a moment. But I hope you've had a wonderful week so far, and we're always going to have challenges. You know that. That's part of the Christian life. It's here. We're going to have some challenges. So when I say I hope you're having a wonderful life, it doesn't mean a life without challenges, because we always have them. But we have grace from God to be able to overcome them, right? I mean, I have my challenges. You got your challenges. And we're always going to have these while we're here. That pressure is actually good for us. It works for us. You remember last week what I was shared with you about on Wednesday night? I shared with you about the subject of oppression. And that's a very serious subject. It's out of Isaiah chapter 54. And I want to recap a little bit of that, but I want to go into another subject tonight and springboard off of that. We all experience oppression. I mean, it's just part of, here's my lovely wife. Joining us. There she is.
Hello. How are you, everybody?
We all experience oppression from the enemy. And in Isaiah chapter 54, God says that he wants us established in righteousness, his righteousness, not our performance. Because we can get caught up in thinking that we please God by our works and doing things and all that kind of thing. And, you know, trying to create our own righteousness. But Isaiah 54 talks about oppression coming from the enemy. And this oppression is to make us panic, make us fear, make us impulsive, to try to make us react from the pressure that the enemy is giving us to act out of character. And so oppression is a part of our training. We do have it. Everybody has it. And God makes it clear in Isaiah 54, he says, surely they will assail you. Meaning the enemy is going to attack you, but it is not from me. And then he goes on to say, and no weapon formed against you will prosper.
Hallelujah.
So there are weapons formed against you. There is oppression. It's part of the Christian life. You're normal if you are experiencing some troubles and oppression and pressure, anything to try to get you in strife. You're normal. I want you to know that. Okay. And even people who aren't Christian experience oppression. But especially you are a target if you are a Christian and you're following the Lord and trying to please him. So that's part of our life here. But God gives us some great weapons. And one of those great weapons I want to talk to you about tonight and see if you're utilizing it properly. And if you are, you'll overcome things much easier with this weapon. You don't have to go into a battle without a weapon. You have weapons that God wants you to use.
Amen.
So tonight, Pam, why don't you open us with prayer, and then we're going to go into a song that Michelle has for us. Just lead us in prayer.
Okay. Yes. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for tonight. And thank you, God, that you have given us everything that we need for life and godliness, including weapons to fight against the enemy who attacks us. And one of the greatest weapons is the weapon of prayer. And so we're thankful for the weapon of prayer. And we pray for your direction, your guidance, and that we'd all have hearts to hear what you're saying. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. It was so good to be in the sanctuary Sunday morning with all of you. And somebody said they really liked the preaching in the sanctuary. I'm a lot more animated and moving around rather than just sitting in a chair. And yeah, I understand that. But truth is truth. Truth doesn't change.
That's right.
Regardless of how it's delivered. And so we're going to present to you truth tonight. It's going to help you. So if you're hungry for truth, no matter how it's delivered or the manner in which it's delivered or who's delivering it, your soul will pick up on that and you will be blessed. So at this particular time, I'm going to transition over here to a song that Michelle has done for us. And so let's enjoy some worship together as Michelle leads us. Thank you, Michelle.
Yes,
awesome.
Thank you, Michelle.
Make us a house of prayer. How perfect for this particular message. We'll talk to you about the subject of prayer tonight, and I hope to inspire you and encourage you to devote more time to this mysterious subject called prayer. You know, prayer is vital. God gives it to us as a tool. And when you think of praying to God, it happens to be, unfortunately, one of the weakest areas of most churches. And one of the weakest areas of Christians.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is because we don't understand the value of it. Or we may not see necessarily the fruit that we expected to see. Maybe there's some disappointment because of that. Or you feel like, I don't really know how to pray. Well, let me give you some pointers to help you and help all of us, no matter if you're a veteran of prayer for many years or you're still struggling. Let me give you some pointers. Number one, you need to appoint a time to pray. If you just make it on the fly, on the run, well, I just pray all the time. I pray here and pray there and pray there. You really won't develop much of a prayer life with that. You're going to have to make it an intentional time, an appointment with God. And when you do that, I guarantee you, Satan will do everything he can to interrupt that time. For me, the best time is early in the morning. And if you're a night owl, maybe it's later in the evening. But set a time, set a specific time that this is what I do. This is my time to talk with God and learn by practice how to pray. Secondly, have a place to pray. It's important to have a place that you go to. Jesus said it in the Sermon on the Mount. He said, when you pray, go into your closet and shut the door. In other words, there was a designated place where you couldn't be disturbed. And people ought to know, when you go to your time of prayer and your place of prayer, that you're not to be bothered. Don't bother me. I don't care what's going on. Don't contact me right now. I'm alone with God. And unless somebody's bleeding at that moment and dying, I'm not to be bothered. I'm in here with God. And you have to be intentional about this, because no one drifts into a good prayer life. You have to be intentional about this. And you realize how important it is, and you will do that. And you'll begin to delight in these times and enjoy these times so much, so it will not be a rigorous duty for you. It'll actually become a delight. If you're new to prayer, if you struggle with, well, I don't know what to pray about. I tell God this and this and that, but I really just kind of don't really know how to pray. Jesus gave a template, so to speak, a model prayer. It's called the Lord's Prayer, because the disciples were asking, Master, teach us how to pray. I think that's interesting that they asked him that. They must have seen that he valued prayer so much that he spent a lot of time. He would get up a great while before day and go spend time alone with God. It's one thing to pray in public with others. It's great to gather with other people and have prayer. But what really I think is the primary purpose of prayer is between you and God privately. And I think you need that more than you realize. And so you need to have a place and you need to have a time that you go and you shut the door, so to speak, and you spend that time in prayer. But so Jesus gives this model prayer as a template. If you don't know really what to pray about, it'll kind of give you a guideline to flow, so you can at least spend an hour in prayer. You know, if you go to the gym, you're probably going to want to spend at least an hour there to get the benefits of it all, you know. And so in prayer, I think it's important to not be legalistic about this, but you should try to spend and work. It's not difficult to do once you get it going, that an hour in prayer can go by so quickly. And so this template starts off with, you know, honoring God as our Father which art in heaven, and spending time just, you've learned a lot about the names of God, just praising the names of God. And then thy kingdom come, thy will be done, getting your priorities straight, and then asking for things, and you go through the whole list. And I don't want to get into that part tonight, but the model prayer really is set out for us as a model to, okay, take this, now adapt it to your life, but hit these particular points as you go down the list in prayer. Before you know it, you'll be praying an hour. And there's nothing special about praying an hour, but you're going to need this. You're going to realize that you're going to need to block off this special time in your life to develop in your prayer life. Now, I want to talk to you a little about prayer therapy. Prayer therapy. And I want to take you to one particular place in the Bible. I think this is so obvious that this ought to inspire us to pray. This ought to inspire us to say, this is it. I am going to learn how to pray. I'm going to develop my prayer life, and things in my life are going to get better because I know how to pray and commune with God. So we're going to talk about the subject of prayer therapy. And I want to take you specifically to a scripture in 1 Samuel. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, there's a lady by the name of Hannah. And Hannah was a woman who was married to a man named Elkanah. And this man had another wife. It was custom in that day. You could have more than one wife. It never was God's plan, but he had two wives. And his other wife had bore him many children. But Hannah was barren. And to be barren as a Hebrew woman was to the Jews a sign that of disgrace, a sign of a curse. You weren't blessed if you didn't have children. Now, that's not true, but that's the way they took it. And Hannah wanted to have a child more than anything else in the world. And it just seemed like that wasn't going to happen. And so she went to the temple in that day, and she went to pray and pour out her heart before the Lord. And there's a scripture here I want you to read with me. And let me just tell you this part first. It says that Hannah was bitter in chapter 1, verse 10. Hannah was bitter, and she prayed to the Lord, and she wept severely. So here's a woman that is heavily burdened about not having a child. She goes to the temple, and there is where she prayed. And she poured out her heart to God. And the scripture says that she wept bitterly. Let me show you a scripture about that. And it says, as she was praying before the Lord, Eli, who was the priest, he watched her mouth, and he noticed that she was speaking, moving her lips, but she wasn't speaking out loud. And he misjudged this, and he was thinking that she was drunk. So she's there. She's there at the tabernacle, and she's praying, and the priest thinks she's drunk. And so he accuses her, "Woman, what are you doing here drunk? What a shame." And she tells him the truth that, "No, I've not been drinking. It's not what I've been doing at all. You've misunderstood me. I'm pouring out my heart before the Lord." And specifically, she says it this way. Look in verse 15. And I love this as a definition of prayer therapy. "No, my Lord," she says to Eli, "I am a woman of sorrow. I have not drunk wine or strong drink, but I have," there it is, "poured out my soul before the Lord." Mm. I have poured out my soul before the Lord. Now, I'm talking to you about prayer therapy. And tonight, this message is going out to somebody who needs prayer therapy. In fact, if you don't take this seriously enough, it's just going to be like that. You may have a breakdown of some kind. You're carrying heavy burdens. Your heart is burdened. You don't know what else to do. You're perplexed about a problem or whatever it is, or relationships are broken and you don't know how to fix them. And if you don't know how to go to God in prayer and pour out your heart's going to break. And tonight God wants to help you. He wants to teach you prayer therapy. You got to see prayer in this incidence as therapy. Now, I want you to notice something specifically. In this scripture, in verse 10, we see Hannah wept bitterly. And then we see later on that she poured out her heart to the Lord in such a way that the priest thought she was drunk because he saw her lips moving, but he didn't hear her talking. And then later on, we're going to see a total change in her disposition, a total change in her mental understanding of what's going on. And so I want to stop and talk to you about prayer itself. There are many different ways to pray. You can pray out loud, and there's a time that you should do that. You should pray out loud, because if you don't, sometimes mentally you're just speaking the words out of your mind. You can drift into sleep, or if you have a hard time paying attention in prayer, you need to speak it out loud. I encourage you just to talk out loud to God in your normal voice, and walk and pray. Take prayer walks. That's what I do. I do in my backyard, around my neighborhood, around the church today. I just walked around the property. I'm praying, talking out loud. And it's a wonderful thing. It's a release of heaviness and burdens and things that you don't know what to what to do. And you're just, you know, if you went to a counselor, the counselor would just sit down in front of you and say, now talk, just talk. And you pour out your heart. Well, you do this with God. And the good thing is you don't have to pay $150 an hour to some other person who really is not all that interested in your problems anyway. You're talking to your Heavenly Father. So there's many different ways to pray, praying out loud. But you can also, there are times where you don't want to pray out loud, where you just want to pray out of your mind, from your mind. And you're praying, you're talking to God. Now, I pray that way as well, and you do as well. And there's a time and a place, because there are sometimes you need to be aware when you're under a vicious attack of the enemy, and you know it's spiritual warfare, you don't need to be praying out loud where the enemy hears what you're praying about or what you're requesting.
That's right.
Because then he hears what you want, and he goes to work to try to foil that from ever happening. So sometimes it's not good to pray out loud. When you're aware of the enemy, it's good to pray in your mind, or I think even better, pray in tongues.
Oh, yeah.
When you pray in tongues, the enemy doesn't understand what you're saying, and he really hates that.
Yes, he does.
And your mind says to you, well, this is foolish. It doesn't make any sense. Doesn't edify your mind. It's not supposed to, but when you pray in tongues, you're edifying your spirit. Your spirit is releasing the right words to God, and you're communing with God. And so there's a time you need to pray in tongues.
Well, you know, Paul said that he prayed with his mind, but he prayed with his spirit also. Mm-hmm. And I know that you know how we come to the end of ourselves, kind of, where we don't even know what to pray any longer. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're just, I don't know, the loss for words because we've said it all, we feel. And that is the perfect time to bring it before the Lord in the spirit realm and pray in the spirit. Because the enemy doesn't hear it, but God most certainly understands it.
Absolutely.
And sometimes he even gives you the translation of your own prayer.
Mm-hmm.
So just trust that that is a special, special, powerful gift. And use it, whether your mind is saying, oh, this just seems so foolish and it sounds so silly. I don't care. Just do it and just watch what happens.
That's exactly right. It's a tool that God has given us. But in prayer therapy, now I want to talk to you about this. I'm going to talk to you about doing what Hannah did. She poured out her heart. It's what she told Eli. I am pouring out my heart to God. There's a time we have to do this. I was doing this today, in fact, when I was walking around the outside of the building of the church. It's a lot of things on my mind pressing in and a lot of decisions that are going to need to be made in my own personal life and in the church and all that. And I just went out for a walk in the fresh air, and I poured out. I told God everything that I knew I needed help with, and I told him everything I was perplexed about. I poured out my heart, so to speak, to him, until I had no more words. Mm-hmm. I ran out of words. And in counseling, sometimes with people, they say when a person finally runs out of breath, in other words, they run out of words, then their heart has been poured out.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something about that that's very therapeutic for you, very healing for you. When you pour out everything that's in your heart, God can pour in his grace and bring healing to those areas of your heart that have been troubled. And so it's important for us to have those times where we just pour everything out. We just dump it out before God, and just until we have no more breath, there are no more words. There's nothing else I can say about it. I've said everything I can say. I poured out my heart. Now God can pour in his grace. And he'll do that, believe me.
He will.
He will do that. So I want to ask you, have you ever done that? You ever poured out your heart before God? Maybe somebody listening tonight, that's really what you need to do next. Is you just need to take the next step of pouring out your heart to God. However you do that, maybe tonight or maybe early in the morning or whatever. But you'll actually feel, once you've got everything out, you'll feel the weight. Now, the problem may still be there, but the weight of that problem is now lifting off of your heart.
Mm.
See, and you're pouring it onto the Lord. That's what God wants you to do. Mm. This is prayer therapy, and it'll help you more than you realize right now. It may not make much sense to you because prayer is a mystery. You think about God, we don't see, is right here with us. And so you have to exercise a degree of faith to even to be able to pray because you don't see anybody. You don't feel him, but he's right there with us. And so it's important for us to understand that this is what, this is one thing that God wants to happen. He wants us to pour out our heart before the Lord. And so I want you to see the importance of that. And I want to share with you a couple of pointers about prayer that I think will encourage you tonight. Good thing is prayer doesn't require any special training.
That's right.
There's no formulas. There's a lot of books written on prayer telling you how to pray. And those things may be helpful and they may have their place. But ultimately, do you notice in the Bible, there's really no training manual for prayer. There's no special method. If prayers can be spoken, they can be unspoken. It can be in tongues, it can be without tongues. But there's a praying that God wants us to get to that is going to be therapeutic for us. I mean, God already knows everything anyway. He already knows what you're going to say before you have a word on your tongue. So prayer is not benefiting God other than the fact you're coming to him as his, as you're, he's your father and you're this, your child. So the point is that prayer is designed to help us. It's designed to heal some parts of us that if we don't take care of this and use prayer therapy the way God intends, then our hearts could be affected. Our minds could be affected. And so we learn how to release our tensions. We learn how to release our stress. We learn how to release our burdens to God in prayer. And that's why we pray every day.
Casting our cares on him.
Several times a day. And so it's important for us to understand, as we pour out our hearts to God, remember this, he pours in his grace.
Hallelujah.
To heal
he sure
us.
Does.
Prayer is God's idea. It's not for his benefit, it's for our benefit. And so if you're starting to see the value, this is going to help you. This might even heal your body as you learn prayer therapy. You know, they say that the majority of sicknesses are psychosomatic illness. In other words, people think themselves sick. They carry burdens. They carry worry. They carry stress in their minds and their hearts. And it certainly affects us because it takes us out of the peace that Jesus gave us and wants us to live in. And so we have dis-ease. Dis means out of ease. We're no longer at peace. And so God wants to heal that part of our lives where we're out of ease. So Hannah, let's get back to Hannah. She prayed. And she prayed to God outwardly. And then he healed her heart inwardly. Now, looking on in chapter 2, you'll notice she has a baby boy. We know him as the prophet Samuel. The first prophet, the great, not the first prophet, but the great prophet in the Old Testament. And so she has baby Samuel. In chapter 2, she starts singing a praise to God. It's called Hannah's Song. And when you look in verses 1 through 4, you can read that on your own. She does an incredible praise to God. So there has been a great transition from a woman that was really bitter, a woman that was sour, a woman that was in a lot of pain. And now at the end, in the beginning of chapter 2, there's a total transition. And the only thing that she did was prayer. That's the only thing. You know, the old saying, prayer changes us. Well, it does. Maybe that's what God designed it to do. Now, at that moment, she still didn't have a baby. But she was relieved of the burden. She prayed until the burden was lifted. Mysteriously, somehow, we don't know how because the Bible doesn't tell us, God made it clear to her that he had heard her prayer. He made it clear to her, I've heard it. In 1 John chapter 5, or chapter 1 John talks about, this is the confidence we have in him, that we know that if he hears us when we pray, that we have the petitions that we've asked of him. So sometimes people don't pray enough or long enough about a matter. You need to pray until you get to that place where the burden begins to lift. Maybe it's a peace that comes in your heart. Maybe the heaviness starts to go. Maybe the grace is starting to be poured into your heart and it heals that place where you're hurting. The bitterness is being changed. You're no longer bitter, you're becoming better. The pain is starting to change from pain into praise. Now you start to praise. You're being changed. And from a sour disposition, you're becoming sweeter by the moment. And the only thing was prayer. Prayer is what made all the difference in Hannah's life. And I believe it's what will make a big difference in our life as well. And so everything changed. And now I want to close out with this one particular verse I want to show you in chapter 2 that caught my attention. In chapter 2, this is Hannah's praise. She says these words, "The bows of the mighty are broken, but those who stumbled are girded with strength." Now, you might need to read that again, but she's talking about herself here. She's talking about how she had stumbled in her faith, and that's where she got bitter, and that's where she got resentful, and that's why she suffered so much. She stumbled, but she says the Lord gave her strength. How did she get that strength? Prayer. Simple as that. Prayer therapy. She went to prayer therapy. When you're going to prayer, consider yourself going to therapy. It's therapeutic. It's going to help you. And God wants to heal our hearts. And there's a lot of pouring out to do. It isn't just a one or two time thing in your life. Sometimes for me, it's a daily thing where I have to go back and pour it out again. I have to go pour out again and pour out again before God. And God heard it the first time. It's not repetitious, vain prayer. It is the necessary part that I need because I have a tendency, once I pour something out, I have a tendency to take it back on within 24 hours. And I feel the heaviness and the pressure again that I got rid of. And so God knows that's how we are, creatures of habit. And so we may need to go and spend some time in prayer therapy again and pour out our hearts. So Hannah's talking about the strength she received from prayer. So when she poured herself out to God, poured her heart out, God filled that place in her heart with his grace. Mm. Is that what you want?
And we need his strength. Yes.
We need his strength. We can't do this on our own. Mm. So here's the only change. From chapter 1, verse 10 to verse 18, I think it is. The only difference from this woman, her whole disposition changed from being bitter, she was changed to become better. She was in pain, and her pain turned into praise. She was sour, and her disposition became sweet. And the only thing was prayer. Prayer is what changed everything. Mm-hmm. Changed her. It changed her. And so prayer is God's therapy. I don't know about you, but I need a lot of God's therapy. Mm-hmm. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
So, if you don't pour out your heart before God and learn how to do this wonderful prayer therapy as a gift from God, if you don't learn how to pour your heart out, your heart's going to become very weighted, very heavy. Depression is called a spirit of heaviness. And I think depression is layer after layer after layer after layer of cares that come and they weigh heavily on us because we haven't learned how to open up and pour our hearts out to God on a regular basis. You may have to do this every day for a long period of time, but I promise you, if you'll do this, if you'll pour your heart out like Hannah did before God, and if you'll keep doing it, your heart will be better. The situation may not change as fast as you'd like it, but at least the enemy will not be able to squash the life out of you. Mm-hmm. You'll be able to make it through. You will overcome. So this is why the enemy attacks us to try to hinder prayer so much. Because people say, well, I prayed. Nothing happened. Nothing changed. Oh, yeah. If you pray right and do prayer therapy and pour your heart out, you begin to change. Your heart begins to change. And God's grace is starting to be poured in you. You will notice a difference. And I think this evening would be great if we close out with a time of prayer. Pam, would you join me? Let's just pray together for our church family that's watching. We want to pray for you right now. And you can keep your eyes open and pray with us. But Father, we beseech you in the name of Jesus. You're our Father.
Yes.
You're the one we come to. You're the one who has all the strength. You know everything about us. And tonight, at this very moment, and even later, Lord, there are people watching whose hearts are heavily burdened with cares. They need solutions, and they don't see any. They need hope, and they don't see any. They need help and encouragement, and they're looking, and they haven't found it. We pray that through this broadcast tonight, and right now through our prayer,
yes, Lord,
that the Holy Spirit, the Counselor, the Comforter, will surround those who are oppressed, being oppressed by the enemy. And that at this very moment, God, the comfort of your arms will surround them and lift the heaviness off of them,
yes,
and make it easy for them to pour out their hearts in your lap, at your feet. You care. You love them. You are with them. You haven't forsaken them. And so, Father, we also come against our strong enemy. We come against Satan and all of his demonic forces,
yes,
with the power and authority that you have delegated to us to use. And on behalf of our church family that's watching, we bind Satan. Satan,
yes,
we bind you. We command you. You are bound. We bind you and command you to stop this oppression against the children of God.
Yes,
we command you in Jesus' name to be bound. We bind your mouth. We bind your lies.
That's right.
We bind hopelessness.
Yes.
We bind the weakening that you're trying to do to the saints. We bind your attempt to wear down the saints. We bind you in Jesus' name.
And we bind suicide.
We bind
suicide. The spirit of suicide.
And hopelessness.
Yes.
Every bit of it. We bind this right now in
Jesus'
name.
Jesus' name.
You have no authority here.
No.
And we declare the blood of Jesus
God's children
over every man,
absolutely,
woman, and child right now that's watching.
Yes.
The blood of Jesus over them.
Hallelujah.
It sets us
free.
Thank
you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, God, for the armor of God.
Yes.
We put that on everybody right now.
Thank you.
We put on the belt of truth around you. God's belt of truth.
Yes.
We put on the breastplate of righteousness around you. We put on the shoes of the preparation of gospel peace around you. We take up the shield of faith in your arm, put it there to hold it up before you. We put on the helmet of salvation upon your head. We put up the sword, put on the sword of the Spirit in your other arm there to fight against the weapons of the enemy. And we put on you the weapon of all prayer.
Hallelujah. Yep.
All kinds of prayer surrounding you.
Thank you, Lord.
From front, behind, beneath, and above.
Mm-hmm.
And we declare, God, you said to pray this, deliver them from evil. Deliver us from evil.
Mm-hmm.
For thine is the kingdom and the power
and
the glory forever
and
ever and ever.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
May you be blessed tonight. May your sleep be pleasant.
Mm-hmm.
And may your mind be upon the things of God.
Mm-hmm.
Be blessed. We love you. And we'll continue to pray for you. And we look forward to seeing you this coming Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Good night, everybody. God bless you. God bless you.